been going through way too long. I can't believe I'm still holding on. Been trying hard to increase my faith, but it feels like it's way too late. The preacher said it's already done. If I believe in Jesus the Son, I got a feeling that it might be right. I'm in the tunnel, but I see the light. I can't repeat this cycle again.
Oh, today it comes to an end. Oh, it's been long enough, and I have had enough. And I declare today that things are changing right now.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Three. And right now, things are changing right now. And that's how we have to make our positive confession. Even when it comes down to the things of faith, Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but at this moment. Hey, God bless you. Good evening, good evening, good evening, wherever you may be. We greet you from the Six Eyes Radio Network. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you on this evening. I am so glad to be able to visit you in your home, at your computer, in your car, wherever you have grab access to this network. We thank you for tuning in. We pray that something that is said today, the music that is played today, will enlighten you, encourage you, and just drive you towards your purpose in God. Hey, we love you with the love of Christ here on the Six Eyes Network. God bless you again, and God keep you. And this is Monday. We are in a brand new month, the month of November. Amen. November, we're definitely in our fall season now, and the leaves are changing. If you're in the mid-south and central parts of America, you can see the leaves changing. The grass is not growing as fast anymore. So the outdoor service is changing a little bit. You're pulling out those sweaters out of your closet. And up north, they've already pulled out their sweaters. They've been had them out. And they tell me that some are even bringing out some coats. And so whatever your situation is, and down south, they have to pull out a few sweaters, warm in the day and cool in the evening. And so wherever your day is, we pray that it went well for you. We pray that you was able to be successful in your work, in your study, whatever it is that you was assigned to do on this day. Hey, it is November the 1st. Proverbs 1. They used to tell us that if you really want to attain some wisdom and knowledge and understanding, read one proverb a day. We won't read all of chapter 1 of Proverbs, but I will read the first 7 verses for you in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 reads as following. I'm reading from the King James Version. So if it's a little different from what you're reading, I'm reading King James today. It reads again, Proverbs 1 and 1. The proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. 2. To the wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of instruction, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equality, to give stability to the young man, knowing, and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. To fear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ooh, I really wanted to keep on, but I said just the first seven verses. Amen. And so take that little part of wisdom, read over it again and again and again, and let it soak in. Men that desire, women too, that desire wisdom, takes time to listen to wise counsel, take time to try to understand the circumstance, the situation at hand, and then they respond appropriately based on God's guidance. So wisdom, amen, is the principal thing. Hey, we're going to have a wonderful program for you on tonight. Amen. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Just a few commercials here, and we will be back.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you, with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
And don't you forget it. You are favored of God. Yes, you are. You are favored of God. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that means he didn't have three or four of them lying around. He had just one. One that was precious, one that was part of him. And he gave that part of himself to you and I. That's how great God's love is towards us. It is just that great. And because it's just that great, it gives me to keep on telling my testimony, to keep on sharing my testimony. God has been good to me. He's been good to you too. But you have to recognize it for yourself. I got up this morning and I didn't tell myself last night when I laid down to keep breathing. Now I wanted to. And I didn't have to instruct my heart to keep beating. It did it on its own because of the command of God that spoke life into me another day. I recognized that. So when I got up this morning, I got up with my mind stayed on Jesus. There's an old song we used to sing in the church. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so when I woke up this morning, my mind was still in a position to tell God thank you. To recognize that I had a brand new day full of brand new mercy, full of brand new grace, full of brand new opportunities. That means simply that whatever I did not accomplish on the day before, whatever I have may have failed at, he's given me new opportunities to continue to build, to rebuild if necessary, to fix, to mend what I've broken, and to assist others in their process of mending and rebuilding. So I'm glad for a brand new day. Now, on this day, I just took a day of rest. I relaxed. I took it completely easy. Could I have gone out and did some other things? Yes. But I found out, especially when you get to a certain age, that you can't work your body the same as you did when you were much younger. So every now and then, you have to allow your body proper rest and allow your mind to reset. One of the beautiful things about the Sabbath day, when you really study it, if you reference it rightfully and reflect it, as he stated, as the Lord worked 6 days, and after 6 days of hard working, or working, it doesn't say hard, but it says he worked. That means he sought out to accomplish something, and what he sought out to accomplish, he accomplished it. And as we read Genesis, day one, he did what he did, and he said it was good. Day two, he did what he did, and he said it was good. All the way to that sixth day. And he said it was good. How oftentimes do we take time to evaluate properly the labor that we actually done. Did we set forth a goal for that day to accomplish something? And did we meet that goal? Did we give our earnest and best effort to accomplish that goal? Well, brothers and sisters, I'm sharing with you today, if you made an honest effort to finish, and even if you didn't finish, for some means, and it wasn't because you didn't try, then you can look at that day and call that day good. You can call that day good knowing that that day you put forth one foot in front of the other, you put your hands to a cause to accomplish what you wanted to, and you did, and by doing it, you did accomplish what you were trying. And so in that, you're supposed to be able to say it was good. I think one of the reasons why some of us are stressing out is because we're not able to see good work. And we're stressing because of bills and because of this and because of that. And that's because we were not able to evaluate the labor that we done and call it good. And so the frustration of not accomplishing all that we set out to do just marinates in our mind. It builds up. And because it has happened time after time, and compound upon that, the issues of life, be it your health, be it your relationship, be it your family life, those things compound against us. And we don't release them. That's why one of the best things that we can do in this world, outside of asking God to forgive us for our sin, and that is to forgive others of their deeds or misdeeds against us. See, when we learn how to forgive others, when we learn that true secret of forgiveness, we'll find ourselves at better peace with the whole world because we'll be peaceful within ourselves. Some of our struggle is because we haven't let go of yesterday. So sometimes for us, our biggest enemy is yesterday. Our biggest enemy is yesterday. Because yesterday stays in today, and we focus on it. So it makes it hard to focus on this. I'm a golfer. I love to golf. That is one of my pastimes. And one of the secrets in golf is forgetting the last stroke. Not that you don't count it. Don't cheat. It counted. That was stroke one or stroke two, whatever number it was. But in order to make the next play, you have to play the ball where it lies. And you have to accept this is the shot that you gave yourself. For the most part, many of us want to blame someone else for the shot we must take. And it really doesn't matter how you arrive to that point, whether someone was talking in your backswing, whether that was people laughter off the side, whether there was a car driving up as you were standing at the tee box. The bottom line is, you addressed the ball. You looked at the target, and you knew which way to go. And it was you that decided what club to use to make that swing. And when you took that swing, it was your body that pulled back and followed through either correctly or incorrectly, sent that ball on its path. And so when it landed, whether it landed because it hit a tree, whether it landed in the rough or landed in the fairway, it was the shot that you took. You have to own it. You own it and accept where it lies. Because after all, you're playing with more than one club. And so many times in life, we forget that there's more inside of our bag. And so we allow the things that happen to deter us, forgetting that there's other tools inside the bag to help and assist us with the next shot. Now, if you don't play golf, you may not understand a word that I'm talking about. But if you do play golf, or you know about the sport, you can see how clearly it lines up with everyday living. If you didn't pay your bills on time, regardless to why, there's a consequences. There's a chain reaction that goes along with it. If you didn't manage your money properly, there's a chain reaction. There's something that goes along with it. But you can't allow yesterday's failures, or since we're in the evening time, let's say, you can't allow today's failure to keep you from succeeding tomorrow. So come in. Come in out the house. Come in from outside. Come into the house. Get you a good shower. Take you a good bath. Go to God in prayer. Ask for direction. Ask for understanding. Ask for clarity. Ask him to reveal to you your part that caused that not to be what it should. And then tomorrow, start afresh. Maybe you had set a dietary plan for your life. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And stress got to you today, and instead of just eating two scoops of ice cream, you ate two pints. Don't beat yourself down. Don't condemn yourself. Recognize, like riders on a horse, you are falling. But those that enjoy riding know that sometimes the horse just throw you. You get back up, and you get back on that horse, and you begin to ride again. Many times people that have car accidents, they are in that similar situation. This was pre-COVID, so in 2019, raining real bad, and we was heading to church early that morning, and it was my sister and it was myself and my sister, or my sister and myself, and we were riding in, and I thought I had slowed down enough. And in certain sections of the highway, the rain would be heavier, then it would be light. It would be heavier, then it would be light. And at this point, it was a little heavy, and we hit a pothole, and the vehicle hydroplaned. And when the tires hit the ground again, it spun out from behind. So the backside of the car spun outward. And I can remember in the spin as we was turning, and looking over to my sister and saying, it's going to be all right. Almost got full control of it, but by this time we had slid it into the midsection. Sliding into that midsection, just so happened it had the wiring crossing there. And we bumped it as the car turned back around forward. It was going backwards at that time, heading into the oncoming traffic. But it caught, we caught the end of the wiring, and it turned us back around. We almost came out the ditch, out the medium. It was too wet to drive all the way out. Everything was fine. We had to just pull out. Minor, very minor damage to the vehicle. Matter of fact, the wiring scratched the vehicle and that front light. But we was all right. We, no whiplash. We were fine. And in the midst of that, I was able to say, I knew it was going to be all right because God was with us. We were going to worship. So I was dressed. It was the first Sunday, too, because I was in my clergy. And, yes, I went to church. I had to call my brother to come back and pull us out. And he came back and he pulled us out. And we went on to church. And so next week came and we had to get on that highway to drive down to Somerville, up to Somerville. And as we were coming past that area, I felt those nerves, Brother Charles. I felt those nerves like this is where the accident was. And I told myself then these words, that was then, this is now, and kept on driving and kept on managing. And guess what? It rained again since then, and I'm still driving. And what I'm saying to you, beloved, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes bad things happen to you when you least expect it. But you don't stop doing what you need to do because the bad things happen. You thank God that you survived it, that it did not end you, and you keep going. Now, that's my testimony. We're in testimony service. Y'all know I love in the beginning of the program, at the top of the program, to do testimony service. So at this time, my love song again that I love to sing is I Believe I Testify. So I believe I testify, while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify. While I have a chance, I believe I testify. While I have a chance, for I may not have a chance anymore. Testimony service is open. 3, 2, 1, it's your turn.
Well, I just want to praise the Lord for helping us get our bills done today as much as we could, and then tomorrow I got to go out and do another one. But, you know, it's been a real cold, windy day, and thank God for the buses to get us around. And just basically, I'm thanking the Lord for everything that happened today. He helped us.
Amen. Thank God. That's another thing. I thank God for public transportation. Amen. Somebody else to do the driving. Amen. I like that. Amen. And thank God that you was able to pay some bills, because this day would be totally different if those bills was due and you had nothing to pay them with. But they were due and you had something to pay them with. That makes it worth it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else have a testimony? Hey, 3-2-1, it's your turn.
I want to thank the Lord that today, while we were on the bus, my brother was trying to cross the street, and he almost got hit, but he didn't get harmed. But I can thank the Lord that I have my good orientation mobility skills that when I'm crossing streets, that I've never been hit, and I can thank the Lord for that.
Amen, amen. And again, for our listeners that may not know, that was Missionary Ken. He is someone that's totally blind. And so him being able to cross the street and have the senses to know his surrounding and to be able to feel what he feel, how he feel when he's crossing the street, that even though I practice walking around the house blindfolded and different things with all the lights out, because my wife always say to me, you be walking around the house with it dark. How you see? I say, listen, it's dark, but it ain't that dark. I say, but we have sight, so we can still see figures. You know, you can still see images. It may be dark, but you can see something. I said, I would not want to be completely in the dark trying to cross a busy road. Crossing the road by itself can be challenging at times, depending on what time of day it is. So imagine you don't have sight. Man, I commend everyone that don't have sight, that has to endure that on a regular basis. God bless you. God keep you, because that's, you have to have courage to do all of that, in my opinion.
But, Pastor Bonnet, just to let you know, that is not just an inane skill. It's something that was you actually learned to do. So I thank God that I got the training that I got to do that. So even no matter how big the street is, I've got the training to do it. So even though I can't see, I know how to listen to certain traffic sounds and to know what ones give me the clue when to cross that street correctly.
Amen. Now, I heard this. Let me, while you're speaking, Missionary Ken, and don't mind me asking this question. They were talking about these new electric cars. It started a few years ago when they, Ford was had this hybrid car, that Focus that came out, and it literally sounds almost as low key as a golf cart. And but they talked about the making the tailpipe have a certain sound for the sake of those that are blind. Do you know anything about that? And if so, what information do you know concerning that?
Yeah, that is true. Organizations like AFB and NFB were behind that, okay? AFB is American Foundation, AFB, American Federation of the Blind, and NFB, National Federation of the Blind. They both were, because they're big organizations, these organizations are people that are blind and different orientation mobility instructors and things like that were the big lobbyists behind that, because with an electric car, when they go, there's no sound. I mean, there's you ain't got the sound of a regular motor there. It's just an electric motor. It's like trying to listen to an electric wheelchair in a store.
Uh-huh.
And if you'd ever try to walk around in a store with your eyes closed and then try to avoid somebody in an electric wheelchair, that's pretty challenging.
Yeah, you're going to walk into them.
So the idea of having a light siren-type sound thing that makes it have like its own type motor sound that is above being silent, it gives that vehicle a sound so that the blind person can hear when it's going. That was the lobbying that they did.
Yeah, because to my understanding, some of these vehicles, when they're sitting still and they're not moving, you really don't know they're on. It's only once they move do you hear the wheels and the small elevation of that that engine and transmission sound coming up. And it's still a far smaller sound than a regular engine.
Right.
A gas engine.
Exactly.
Gas
and that's
–
and there, was,
regular
there was
– gas engine.
And there was far too many blind people that were getting encounters with these newer finangled hybrids and electric cars that they were getting encountered with them. That's why AFB, NFB started to lobby about that, because they said, look, it's a safety issue.
Yeah. If you can remember, I know this coming Thursday on the Braille program, you're going to be speaking with someone that has other resources for the blind. If you can bring that particular topic up and to see if there's additional information concerning that, I personally would like to know that information. So if you would, make a mental note of that to see if there's additional resources. And if you just come across it back for yourself within the time of that program, that would definitely be greatly appreciated from my point of view.
Right. And just to invite folks, that would be nice, is to also invite folks to that program, 9 p.m. Jumbo Braille program that's here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Her name is Laura Cornwell.
All right.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we look forward to that program. I'm quite sure it's going to be a different informative program for those. And as I said, I do have two people that I'm in fellowship with that I believe that the information that they have would be greatly appreciated by them too. So I definitely want to pass on the information. And just for our listeners' sake, what time is your program?
Once again, that is 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Amen. Yeah. So that's 8 p.m. Central. Amen. Standard time. Amen. And because I'm in the Central time zone myself. So, all right. Once again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Are there any additional testimonies? Amen. Amen. To me, that's one of those testimonials of information. So I appreciate that as well. Amen. I love information, because when you know better, then you can do better. Amen. And you should do better. So.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Six, how you doing? God bless you.
I'm blessed. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing wonderful.
Thank you. So my testimony is I definitely made the woke list. That's what got me to this point today. So I want to thank the Lord for what he's done, what he's doing and continuing to do in my life, so I'm able to bless and help others. So I think we've gotten rid of that that procrastination bug, and about my father's business. So I just want to thank for that. That's my testimony.
Amen. Man, as one who has been very guilty of procrastinating, a lot of people, when they see me, they don't think so. But don't nobody know you like you know yourself. And I can remember so many times around the church, within the church, they will say to me, elder or prophet or whichever they call me, man, you are doing this, you're doing that. Man, how you doing? I say, man, I have to do it when it pops up. I say, I have to do it when it pops up, because if I don't, then my mind will put it on a back burner. So I have to make it urgent in my mind, because anything I put off, it literally stays off until it comes back around, or until there's a need or necessity for it. And so I've been guilty of that. And so for me, I really have to not put off something that need to be done. And I'm bad with it when it comes down to things for myself. In fact, I will put the needs of doing something for someone else before I do things for myself. That has a good and bad with it, because if I weaken myself till I can't help, then I am unhelpful. So it's important for me to make sure that I'm taking care of me. And I think I've gave that testimony before, Brother Six, that how I went before the congregation a few years ago and really repented, because we talk about health and talking with your doctor about your health and working on being healthy. And here it is, I was going to the doctor, and I had some pre-diabetes medicine that I was supposed to be taking, some blood pressure medicine that I was supposed to be taking. And for one reason or another, we're not going to get into the reason, because we are justified not to do something in our own head. I wasn't taking the medicine right. And I was swelling in both of my knees and getting up in the pulpit. And God would test my body, and it wouldn't hurt while I was preaching and ministering. The pain would go away. But probably about 30 minutes to an hour after I've ministered and did all that I was going to do, the pain would come back. And so to me, that was God allowing me to know that he didn't want the pain to interfere with his work. So he gave me mercy, not grace. He gave me mercy and allowed me a space of time to be at peace so I could do what he had required of me to do, but he allowed it to return because I wasn't doing all that I was supposed to be doing. And it dawned on me one day that I was being disobedient. And because I was seeking God on what I must do, and that's what he revealed to me, that I have a responsibility to take care of the body that he gave me. He only gave me one. And so it's up to me to take care of this one. And a lot of times we want to fault God for our bodies, but ultimately we have to ask the question, am I taking care of my body? You know, and so when we answer the question, honestly, I believe it's safe to say that all of us can see areas in our body or areas or opportunities where we can do better by our bodies. Am I right about it?
Amen.
That is.
And speaking of procrastination, Pastor Bonnet, I've got two rules for every procrastinator that would help them with procrastination. Okay?
Okay, rule number one.
Rule number one, without a date, you procrastinate.
Absolutely, or it's a wish list.
But without a date, you procrastinate. If you know you got something to do, write down on a piece of paper on X date at X time, I'm going to accomplish X. So
Amen. Without
a date, you procrastinate.
That's good. Rule number two.
Rule number two, you've heard every procrastinator uses this excuse. Well, I'll do it when I get around to it. Well, so what you do is you get a piece of paper, you draw a nice big circle on it, and inside that circle, at the top half of that circle inside there, you write the word to, T-O. And in the bottom half of that circle, under the word to, you write the word it, I-T. Now you've got around to it. Go do it.
Oh, wow. Brother Charles, I don't know how that's going to work out for you. He's going to have to teach you how to do that in Braille.
I'd just rather do the work.
There you go.
Don't worry. I can make one in raised print for him so he can do it. He'll already have it and send it to him.
That's good. Say, I get around to it. So draw a round circle. Put the words to at the top part of it. And towards the bottom part of it, write the word it. So there it is. Now get to it. Get it done.
And each day the Lord blesses you, be about your Father's business. And we're talking about the spiritual Father. So that's, that's where I'm at with it.
Amen. And that's the way we all should be with it. I mean, the good Lord put us here in this earth, on this earth, to accomplish something, to be something in his stead. And so it come upon us all to cure as mature sons and daughters of the Most High God and do what it is he asks. I mean, what if Jesus was a procrastinator? We'll still be waiting on him to die on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
because he wouldn't have got around to it.
So each day that the Lord bless you, we need to wake up with a purpose.
Amen. Amen. Wake up, asking God, Lord, what must I do today? And if you have a plan, Lord, this is my plan, does it agree with yours? Because there's nothing wrong with us making plans. There's nothing wrong with us setting course of actions to do and to accomplish. The challenge is for us to start trying to be masters of our own fate when we have a master who's conquered fate. And so allow him to tell us what to do with the life that he paid for with his own blood. So, That is wonderful. That is wonderful. I tell you. So, but six, Ms. Mayor Ken, thank you, gentlemen. I tell you that was some good dialogue. I enjoyed it. I'm gonna play a song here, and we're gonna come back in just a moment. Once again, you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. God bless you on this evening. Want to say good evening to all of you. We had a caller there on 407-216-440-901. God bless you on this evening. We pray that you're enjoying the music and the conversation. Amen and amen.
Never knew my life could be this way. I never knew the sun could shine all day. Never thought I'd live beyond my past until I found you. I never thought I'd be in this place. Oh, I'm glad, so glad I'm living my life in this place. Ooh, I never
knew my heart
feel again. You see, I was so hurt, so hurt. Never knew the pain.
Contain, and I might sound crazy, but I gotta keep it real. just a part. I'm talking all of me. From when I wake up to when I lay me down, all I wanna do is spend more time with you. Yeah,
could you make life better?
Yes, you do.
I'll do it when we're together.
Yeah. Satisfied. If they ask, I'll tell them that I'll serve you till I die.
Dawkins and Dawkins. Amen. Well, if you allow me to go ahead and jump into this word on this evening. On Sunday, we started a message about 10 reasons why I need Sunday school and the church. It was my way of not pointing fingers at anyone, but directing a statement for myself, which I do honestly believe that it is something for everyone to be mindful of, the purpose of the church, the purpose of fellowship, the purpose of why we come together and build kingdom of heaven, to do the things that God has inquired of us to do. Now, I read for you on Sunday, I read Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. I also read Hebrews chapter 25, verse 31. I also read Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 16. And we read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7. Now, a few of those, we read a few scriptures that started before, because as I was teaching it, I saw that the previous verse gave strength to the point of what I was going to speak on. And it helped keep it in proper context. Point number one, or reason number one, that I gave on Sunday for the need for Sunday school and the church is to prepare one for the second coming of Christ. It is to prepare the body of Christ for the rapture of the church. Amen. Number two is to help understand my benefit for being saved. Many people are receive Christ, but they don't understand the benefits that Christ offers, or the complete benefits. And so many times people are liking certain things because they haven't received all the benefits. There was an incident in the Bible where a statement was made to one group, say, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Well, the Holy Spirit is a benefit of being saved. And their response was, we know not if there be any Holy Spirit. And so they was asked, well, then what was you baptized unto? And when they responded, it was told, well, let us give you more correctly. In other words, let us bring you up to speed. Let us fill you in on that which you do not know. And so because knowledge is power. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is knowledge, and he comes to give us power. And so one of the benefits is the Holy Spirit. And we know that when we go through the process of Romans 10, 9 and 10, confessing with our mouth, believing with our heart, and we're saved. We that's a process. And we go through that process, we are saved. Amen. Our spirit is saved, and our bodies now is being transformed into the newness of life. And so we gave also number three was, the third reason was to encourage the growth in grace. Not the abuse of grace. In other words, not for you to keep sinning that grace may abide, God forbid, but that you grow in grace, you learn the things that God is wanting you to do. Many of us, when we started ministering, started witnessing, we was witnessing for the sake of just trying to prove to somebody else. We got something that they don't have, and they got to have it. We were trying to prove that we knew more. For so many different reasons, we all went about things in the beginning stages till we learned compassion, or to have more compassion, until we learned that it wasn't a competition, amen, but it was a mission, but not a competition. And so we learned how to do better. Why? Because we learned better. And we learned that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. Amen. And so that means if a person don't get saved today, it's not for us to throw them away, but it was for us to continue to reach out to them. Because the scripture tells us that one person planted a seed, another person watered the seed, but only God give the increase. And so we have to learn our place. Sometimes it's our seeding time. Sometimes we are the water. But it's God who gives the increase. Amen. And so again, preparation for the coming of Christ to help us understand our benefits, to encourage growth, that means spiritual maturity as well, in grace, amen. And number four was to help realize spiritual, number four was so that we can recognize the pitfalls of Satan. When you understand your enemy, you are more able to defeat them, because you understand their tactics and their methodology in which they use to try to overcome you. And so being part of a group, you encounter other people's testimonies that have gone through stuff, and when you find out, oh, they got tripped up by this, they got tripped up by that, but they're more than conquerors through Jesus' name. They have the victory. Their testimony shares, their shared testimony reveals to you that if you fall this way, you don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to give up. If God woke you up, you have another opportunity to repent, number one, to get back in line, number two, and to fulfill the purpose that God has you here for. And so that process is one of encouragement, one of development, one of maturity. And so, and we learn that from one another. Just like you went to school and you learn from your other classmates, you learn in a teaching environment. Same here. We learn from a teaching environment. That's why we need pastors that have the ability to preach and teach, or at least have the courage to have the staff around him that have the ability to teach, even if he or she don't possess the teaching ability as strong as others. We all are gifted in our own ways. We're all talented in the ways that God has allowed us. And from utilizing our gifts and our talents amongst one another, they become stronger, they become developed, they become polished. And so we learn these things from that controlled environment. Amen. So, and then number five, I gave on yesterday, came out of Philippians 2 and 5, I believe, and that is to teach me how to daily apply the Word of God to my life. Amen. Excuse me. Teaching me how to apply. So that's what church is supposed to do. So to teach you how to apply the Word of God in your life daily. Daily. Not weekly, but daily. Because you can go to church on Sunday, shout, and get a good feeling. But if you're not empowered, just like your cell phones, the more you use it, the faster that battery going to drain down. So if you have a secular job or you're a teacher in the secular environment or any of those things, and you're coming in contact with the secular world, they're going to pull on you and drain you. And so that Holy Spirit, which is full in you, like the gas in a car, is going to drain down low to your fuel gauge, that fuel, that what motivates you, what encourages you, going to run low. So the Bible tells us that there are one baptism, but many refilling. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so when you have the right understanding of that process, you understand that you may be full in the Holy Spirit today, that you can fly like an eagle. But as it drains your body, just like fuel, it runs down, and you have to be refueled. And our refueling comes from being in God's Word, comes from being around others of like faith. It comes from being encouraged by others of like faith. It comes from doing the work of the Father. Nothing motivates a child like hearing the words from their parents, "That's my child, good job." And so when we are out ministering and doing the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit verifies us and, "That's my son, that's my daughter. I'm proud of it. Keep it up." And we're encouraged at it, and it gives us fuel, spiritual fuel to keep on keeping on. When we see through the compassion that we have for others and their lives being transformed, That gives us fuel to keep on doing, because we know that our labor is not in vain, that it's doing something, it's changing someone. And those are good feelings. Those are motivation actions for you to keep on keeping on. Don't nobody want to do something, feel like what they're doing is never appreciated and never accepted. Sooner or later you say, why do it? And then come to the point where you don't. It's just like a wife, if she cooks for her husband every day and he never act like the food is any good and he's still there with a frown on his face and whatever, and hog down the food and don't never say thank you for cooking the dinner, honey. And, but the day she don't cook, he raised holy hell. And she's like, well, I couldn't tell that you appreciate it because I cooked and cooked and you never say anything about it. So everyone wants to be appreciative. We want to see, we want to feel like we matter. And so that happens in that church setting. And sometimes you can get that adverse effect where you feel used. Amen. And so it takes some stick-to-itness, having done all you can do to stand. You know, it takes to know that what you did was, without a doubt, the will of the Father. So whether it was accepted or not, you knew that you fulfilled what He told you to do. And in time, it'll show why. Amen. And so, again, all of these things take place in the church. And Sunday school is the place where you can ask questions concerning the lessons that's being taught. Bible study is where it's being broken down or should be broken down so there's proper understanding. So now let me move forward, as I did to catch up. Let me move forward. So number six, to teach me how to explain, not to argue, the word of God correctly. I'm going to say this one more time. I might say it two more times. Because number six is so important. I can't tell you how many people missed it, because then it would look like I'm picking on them. But this is true. Coming to a church, being part of a church, being part of Sunday school, being part of a teaching program, being part of that constructed organization for the body of Christ has this merit. It is to equip you on how to explain the gospel, how to explain the gospel, and not argue. Because many people think that that's the same, arguing the gospel and explaining the gospel. And it's not, because I can explain to you the gospel and we can have different of opinion, but I don't have to argue with you about the gospel. Why? Because I'm going to read what it says. And what it says is what it says. And if you choose to interpret it one way, and I choose to accept it a different way, I'm going to explain why I accept it the way I accept it. I don't have to argue with you why I accept it the way I accepted it. I simply have to share it. So I don't have to lose fellowship with you and cut you off. And as my pastor friend of mine here said, I don't have to unfriend you to explain the gospel to you because we have difference of opinion. Amen. I don't have to unfriend you. Amen. I can remain your friend. Amen. And we have two difference of opinion about something in particular. So long as we agree that the only way to the Father is by Christ, we have to agree on that because that's what it says. So to not agree on that is to not accept what is written. So moving right along. So Sunday school, Bible study, the church teaches me how to explain and not argue the Word of God correctly. One of the things that I taught in evangelism, that evangelism is a spectator sport in the Christian community. In other words, you got more people looking than more people participating. This was a statistic at the turn of the century, at the turn of 2000, that some out of 100 Christians, only 4 of them could explain the gospel correctly. But they all will say that they are saved. So if you receive salvation, let me help somebody. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, you, period, should be able to express to someone else how to be saved. Why is that true? Because you receive salvation. So you may not be able to tell it like Missionary Ken can. You may not be able to quote it and be as eloquent as Sister Ruth. You may not even be as gifted in words and bringing it together like someone like myself. But if you know the process that you took to receive it, and you know you got it, then you can share that. My friend, that is how you win someone to Christ. You give your testimony. You share how you received him and how he's in your heart and how he's changed your life. Because at the end of the day, they were talking to you anyway. So what they want to hear from is you. They're not trying to hear us. They're not trying to hear me. They're looking at you. So share it. Many of us, we go to church and we sit up under that pastor as he's teaching, not realizing our job is to go out and resound what he said. Just resound it, yes. Christianity is the only thing that you can do and plagiarize it and not feel guilty. Yes, I want to be guilty of plagiarizing Paul, Peter, most certainly Jesus Christ. I want to be guilty of that. In other words, I want to be guilty of quoting everything they said. Because I'm going to share it just like it's mine, but it came from them. And I'm going to pass it on. And you can claim it like it's yours. Why? Because you're the one talking. So it's your job to resound. That's what the Holy Spirit does, by the way. The Holy Spirit is a paracletus. A paracletus is similar to what we get that word parakeet. You know, and oftentimes we see on television different people talking to a parakeet, trying to get the parakeet to resound what they're saying. And so, you know, you get up and say, pretty bird, and the parakeet go, bird, pretty bird, pretty bird. And you get all excited. Well, the Holy Spirit only resounds what God is saying, God the Father. When he's teaching us, he's relaying to us the will of the Father and the Son. He's informing us what they're saying. So what we should be feeling on the inside is confirmation. Amen. So let me keep on going. Time is ticking. Amen. So number six is to teach me how to explain and not argue the Word of God correctly. Number seven, this one is so important. A lot of us find it hard to grow because we have not space and opportunity to exercise those gifts. But that's where we learn to exercise them, within that body of Christ. So help me to identify and develop spiritual gifts. So the gifts of health, the gifts of prophecy, so many other gifts, and someday we'll do a teaching on the gifts of God, okay? Because just because you prophesy one time don't make you a prophet, but God can gift you to prophesy by the Holy Spirit because it was needful. Amen. Also, the gift of wisdom and knowledge and understanding can be given to you through the Holy Spirit for purpose and cause. Amen. But anyway, so number seven, again, reason for me to need the church, Sunday school, and even Bible study. And so that I will know how to identify and develop spiritual gifts. They're to help me to know how to speak God's word boldly with confidence. Sometimes it's hard to share certain teachings when you haven't heard it enough yourself. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So to develop your faith, you need to hear certain teachings over and over and over, so it builds confidence within yourself that what you are saying is factual. It's the word of God. It's true. So you've read it for yourself. You've heard it resounded. And so now you have that boldness and that confidence to do it. When they ask you to open up the service in prayer or read a scripture, you know, the first few times you might be nervous to do it. You may stumble over certain words. You know, growing up in high school, I was able to talk real well, but if I had to read in front of the class, that would slow me all the way down. Now, I can give you the synopsis of the book or what was read, and I can come, and I can tell you this and that. But if I had to read it, I had to slow down. Number one, it was easier to get tongue-tied. In elementary school and grammar school, I had to pick up speech because I had to learn not to merge all my words together. And so many people get nervous when they have to do public speaking. It ain't for everybody. And it's not. But some people, they don't have a problem with reading. They just have something within them that hinders them from feeling comfortable in doing it openly. Part of a ministry that focus on development that can help you to be bold with God's word, and what you can do with confidence. Number nine, how much time do I have left? Oh, my goodness. All right, number nine, my ninth reason out of my 10 reasons for why I need the church and Sunday school and Bible study. I need it to teach me how to honor and worship God. The Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So that means, in short, even sinners can praise God. I'm going to say it again. It's true all day long, twice on Sunday. Even sinners, straightforward sinners, can praise God. Here's what I mean. When I'm watching my sports and I'm rooting for one team to win, but the opposing team can do something so well, and it was so good, to I have to recognize the skill and the talent that was just demonstrated before my eyes without bias. I have to say, that was an awesome play. That, man, that was cold. Yeah, man, they got in. They psyched him. Man, that was a good steal. Man, I hate they did that to us, you know. So all you need to be able to praise God is to recognize his handiwork. Many times we're driving around town and we see certain houses, and the design of the house is so nice and so unique. We're like, man, that's a nice house. We gave compliment to the builder, the company, and we don't even know who they are. Unless they're signed, sealed up, saying this is such company or whatever, we don't even know who they are. But we done gave them praise because we recognize something good. So even sinners could recognize God. Sinners, when they want to protect the planet and they're planting new plants so that the greenhouse effect don't jeopardize the planet. They're praising God unaware. Mm. Oh, yeah. And so even someone who don't necessarily believe and follow Christ can say, hey, I'm going to just be happy today. I refuse to be sad in this wonderful day. They are praising God. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different ways to praise God, directly or indirectly. But praise don't get you saved. Christ does, through repentance. But the Bible said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a whole different concept. That's a whole different understanding. That means you can praise God without knowing him. But to worship him, that's intimate. You must know him to worship him. So, no, a sinner cannot worship God. I'm going to say it again. A sinner can praise God. He cannot worship God. because they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. So that means he can go through the physical or outward appearance of worship. But if his heart is not there, it's not worship. It's imitation. I know y'all don't like that, but it's all right. It's right all day, any day, and every day. So going to church, fellowshipping with like believers, learning truth of God's word, is teaching me how to honor God. And number one, I taught a long time ago, you can't honor God without being saved. Because the first step of honoring God is being a child of God. So going, being connected, it teaches me how to honor God and to worship God. These what put me in line to do good works. This is not nothing. This is not tied to my salvation. I'm not doing this to get salvation. I'm doing this because I have salvation. In other words, your doctor is not operating on you to learn how to be a surgeon. Nah, he learned how to be a surgeon first. And because he is a surgeon, he's now operating, or she operating on you, okay? So there are certain things that must come first. Amen. So I can't honor God till I become part of his plan. Okay? Can't worship him till I understand what he requires from that in the worship. Amen. And number 10, my 10th reason why I need church, Sunday school, Bible study. Why do I need it? To teach me how to live a peaceable life. To teach me one thing about being a minister, as I minister to people, I learn how to minister from ministering. What do you mean? Well, similar to a teacher. A teacher is told, textbook, this is what you should do. But it's in the classroom setting and the interaction with the student does a good teacher learn how to reach the audience that she's talking to. Because everyone don't learn the same. Everyone don't receive the same. And so a good teacher learns to observe the behavior, the mannerism, the development, all of that from those that she is teaching, and from seeing what they do and how they do it, that teacher is able to adjust to better that individual, thereby herself or himself becoming better in utilizing the skill that they was taught and the gifting that was given to them fills in the gap. So it's hard to be a preacher being the one to preach to. It's hard to evangelize those that don't listen. And you can't teach and organize those that do not come together. So I read for your hearing one last time. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, which is all of our primary model. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Talking about Christ. And he gave Christ. And Christ, who is the body of Christ, who is the church. The church is the gathering of the body. And he gave some apostles. Well, those apostles are like ambassadors. They are the chief spokesman. There to keep organized the organization. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. And those prophets are those to resound what God is saying and to speak to them clarity and sometimes the things that's within them to connect them back to God, not to constantly speak for God, but to connect them back to him. Many times people want me to share more than what God has given me to share with them concerning God. But God did not make me to be his substitute. He simply allowed me to be a mediator to direct you back to him or to make clear to you what he's already revealed to you. Many times I'm not sharing something new with you. I'm confirming something that was already said to you. And he gave some evangelists. And so the evangelists, the ones that go outside of that controlled environment and have the boldness to go into the ungodly, the untaught, the unlearned, and to share with them, to pull them back to the body. Amen. And some pastors, and the pastors are under shepherds. And so it's just like a shepherd that leads the sheep into green pastures so that they may eat well and not on desecrated ground, the foul ground. And teachers, those that make it plain and make it understandable. So, and he gave some apostles and he gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The saints, yes. The saints comes from the word sanctified, which means to be set aside. You and I as believers, we have been set aside or we have been pulled out for a purpose. We're in the world, but we're no longer of the world. So we're separate in our relationship. We're separate in our understanding. We're separate in our belief. So for the perfecting of the saints, that's you and I as believers, for the work of the ministry. That word ministry is finding a need and meeting it. Ministry. So the whole reason this entity is important is so that we can find needs and meet those needs. Now, yes, this is primarily a spiritual but is also a physical. So that's why we're to teach you how to budget your money, not spend every dime you get. Teach you how to husband, how to love your wives, and wives how to honor and respect your husband, and children how to obey your parents. And yes, there's a process for all of that. Praise his name. For the work of the ministry, the need. And don't say ministries for a reason. Don't have time to deal with all of that. Food for thought. Read the text again. For the perfecting of the saints, plural. For the work, singular, of the ministry. That means what God has called. Amen. To meet the needs of God's people, of God's creation. Amen. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is in-house stuff now. Amen. 13. Till we all. How many? We all. How many? All. We all. We all come in to the unity of the faith. Where God sees unity there, he commands the blessing. And so a lot of times some churches are not blessed because the people won't unify under that leadership. And so thereby they hinder the blessing that could be. Because if you're fighting with the pastor and talking about his wife and you're talking about the deacons and y'all at odds with one another, then the prayers that are going up to heaven are being blocked by demonic forces. Again, that's a whole nother teaching. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means Christ is so much more than that sacrificial lamb that died for our sins. Yes, he was that, but he is so much more. That's part of that benefit. Number two, the benefit package. So to understand that, amen. And he rounds this up with that we henceforth from being perfected, from having this knowledge, for being in this gathering, for being part of this unity, then at that point, we are no more children, immature, unlearned, uneducated, like little children, okay? We're no more children tossed to and fro. That means following everything that sounds good. Because the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto man. Seemeth right. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. But the ends are the means of death. And God repeated it two other times. That means it's established. He had confirmed it. And he don't want to fall prey to it, so he resounded it again. We're going to keep on going. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Doctrine here stands for belief system. So there was a belief system that believed that the priest could not marry. And the foolishness of that was they had nothing to respond to concerning their itch. And I said itch. I didn't say any other word itch, their sexual impulses. And so since they felt they couldn't marry, it gave room in their mind to listen to the devil. And they did damnable things. And I said damnable, meaning condemnation. Stuff that is an abomination to God. And the consequences of those sins for someone who does not change is eternal death. We'll keep on. We'll keep on. So, by every wind of doctrine, those are belief systems, by the slight of men, and the cunning and craftiness whereby they live and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the ministry of every part, making intercessory of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we are to operate in love, and we learn how to love, because Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, those are discipline students, that you will have love one, two, not four, but two, another. That means it's important for you to receive my love, not for me to say I love you and you don't feel it, but for you to receive it from what I've given. I want to thank you this evening for joining the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. It has been an honor and a privilege to be with you on this evening. I want to thank Brother Charles Stanford for being our founder of this program and station. I want to thank the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network. We love you with the love of Christ. We believe that your best days are still yet to come. And we're praying for you that you will receive them by faith. Amen. And so, trusting God with your all will not make you ashamed. Give God your all, and he'll give you more than you can imagine or expect. We love you. Have a great evening. Our mics are open. Perhaps Missionary Ken or Brother Charles may want some final words to say. I always want to come back and tap in with them to see if there's anything else they would like to have. I know some of y'all not used to other words coming behind the preacher, but these are my friends.
Pastor Bonnet,
I would love to hear.
Come on. It was a good message, but
amen.
Do have one thing I need to correct you on. Okay, you were talking about the paraclete, and you said it's not the same as a parakeet that mimics people, the bird, the parakeet. Well, a parakeet does not mimic people. It's a poll parrot that mimics people. So you had the wrong breed of bird that mimics people. It's a poll parrot, not a parakeet. So you stand corrected.
I stand corrected. I stand corrected. Amen. And that bird is the paracletus. Amen, amen. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's a paracletus. Amen.
Yeah, but if you want the mimicky bird, that's a Paul parrot.
Paul parrot. All right. The Paul parrot. Amen. Amen. The Paul Parrot. All right. I like it. I like it. I can't be mad at it at all. Amen. Thank you for getting my analogy corrected. Amen.
Because that's what, when that, they say you parrot somebody, that's what they're talking about.
All right. That's it, too. That's it. Amen. I appreciate that. Well, we know what your takeaway was because you gave it. Amen. All right. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Brother Charles, you have anything? Amen.
Just great overall message. Great 10 nuggets. So thank you for that.
Amen. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I hope that you was able to either write it down or record it and begin to implement that as we share this truth around the world and in our everyday environment. It's why we do ministry, that we may continue to add to the body of Christ. That's our mission. God wanted a family. So he gave us his son. His son was the seed. And we, the believers, are the fruit of that seed sown in the ground. So let us grow. Let us grow daily. Let us grow weekly. Let us grow so long as we have life in these physical bodies. Let us grow. Amen. Anything else? Anything else? Anybody else have any comments before we take off this evening? Amen. Well, with that being said, once again, we want to thank you for joining the Six Eyes Radio Network here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. We provide programming 7 days a week on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Six Eyes Gospel Show on Monday. We have the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly at 9 p.m. on Tuesday. We have the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio at 8 p.m. And on Wednesday, we have the Six Eyes Gospel Wednesday Night Bible Study at 7 p.m. And on Thursday, you definitely want to tune in this Thursday. And on Thursday, we have the Jumbo Braille program on the Six Eyes Radio Network at 9 p.m. On Friday, we have the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show, and it's at 9 p.m. And on Saturday, we have our opening programming. Always, you are able to make financial contribution to this radio station to support any of its programming. If you're utilizing the PayPal platform, and you simply want to, as you go to PayPal, you type in the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. And we also offer opportunity on the Cash App platform, and you can do that at $6i24. That is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4, and that's the Cash App platform. And whatever God touch your heart to give, it is greatly appreciated. We thank you for your support. I want to thank those who have supported in the past. God bless you and God keep you. We look forward to seeing you on our next programming. Tune in. Share it with a friend. Like us on Facebook and Twitter. You can go back and listen to any of these programs now through those particular accounts. And now I believe it's also available on, is it iTunes or Apple platform? And so you are welcome to follow us then on those platforms. Once again, we love you with the love of Christ. God bless you and God keep you.
So many pressures in life, and so many reasons to throw in the towel. But when I feel like I'm losing this fight, consolation from heaven comes clearly to me to remind me, to
remind me
that nothing else matters than seeing you, Jesus, seeking the Master. One who reigns over my life, nothing else matters than seeing you, Jesus. Just to sit at your feet, hear your voice clearly speak, lift me out of sleep, for in you I'm reminds me that nothing else matters. Oh, nothing. So many rivers to cross, and so many mountains discouraging you. Just don't focus on yesterday's loss. Consolation from heaven will come clearly to you. Consolation from the Father, it will come to you. Consolation from the Father, it will come to you to remind you, to remind that nothing else matters than seeing you, Jesus, oh Lord, seeking the Master, the one who reigns over my life. Nothing else matters, oh yeah, than seeing nothing else matters. Broken before you, I need to receive a fresh touch from heaven, and I will not leave till you touch me. Oh Lord, I pray, I need you every day with all of my heart. I believe that you are all I ever wanted.